What's up, OBR Film Breakdown listeners? Before we get to today's show, just a reminder about the $100 in free bets over at the number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. Use the promo code OBR today to claim that $100 in free bets. Again, that's promo code OBR at FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older, present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio on 1-1-2023. Unique user identification required. Offer ends on the go-live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, the latest on the OBR Film Breakdown Podcast. What's up, Browns fans? Welcome into your Sunday game day edition, crossover episode of All Eyes on Cleveland with Brad Ward, OBR Film Breakdown with Jake Burns, presented by FanDuel. We're here to welcome you in for an interesting battle that Cleveland has to really take advantage of here. Perhaps some weirdness. I don't know, Brad. It's a weird NFL season. Anytime you're playing Tom Brady, you shouldn't feel optimistic, right? It is. Has potential to be really ugly in the stadium, right? 3-8 would put people in a really sour mood, I guess, depending on what happens. As you guys know the outcome of this, but Brad and I do not as we record this. Many of Browns fans or Ohio State fans, we'll see what happens with the outcome of that game here in a few hours. But, sure. Grumpy football fans in Ohio, Brad, and the potential for the Browns to put 3-8 out there should give them some encouragement. And you're kind of banking on an unexpected outcome here for the 3-7 Browns in the against 5-5 Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I just want them to play like, you know, it's Jacoby's last game. Maybe that could be like a rallying point for them. I don't know if he commands that. I think he commands that kind of respect from some of the locker room, if not all. So you would hope maybe that's like a rallying point for them. And they need to play with desperation, man. You know, desperation is when teams play desperate, sometimes they can pull some wins out that they shouldn't, maybe. But they need to be at that point. Like, even if you're just to give yourself the illusion of being mathematically in it, I think it adds some value to the Watson games. Even if it's not realistic, just the illusion of the fact that, hey, he could run the table. I think keeping that door open, I think, adds some value to a couple of his games.
Yeah, we thought a couple times the Browns would show up desperate to play and have that burning energy and passion and all of that stuff, and we haven't seen it. So it would be really nice to see it in this one, because if they do get to 4-7, there is a, however small percentage, it is a plausible one with the back half of the season schedule and some opportunities they have to win some football games. So it would give them a massive jolt going down to Houston and a potential to run two wins together, which would be huge for them. But let's not get all too far out in front of ourselves here. This is a massive, massive task for Cleveland, but you do get some advantage, as the Browns dealt with the disadvantage of going down to Miami and dealing with the uncomfortable humidity and heat down there. You now have Tampa coming up to Cleveland and a nasty weather game that they don't get all too often. Now, it's not going to be terrible. It's going to be like low 50s, high 40s, Brad, but there is some precipitation. Hit me with the specifics of weather and how this, you know, it could at least be something that hinders Tampa just a little bit. Maybe not Tom Brady, having come from all those years in New England, but there's a lot of guys that are Southern guys that don't deal with this stuff and they play in domes and stuff. So could have some small Cleveland-based advantage, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, you're going to get a good amount of rain on Sunday at 1 p.m. It's like 52 degrees inside First Energy. This is the AccuWeather from inside there or whatever. Rainy, precipitation percentage 83%, so likely raining when the game starts. Winds around 14 miles per hour, which is rather standard for like a 1 p.m. kick, right? I mean, it's a little that's pretty gusty, but yeah. So the wind and the rain is not probably not something that everyone is used to, right? And it will continue that way throughout the game. I mean, the chance of precipitation kind of goes down and then back up through the course of 1 to 4 p.m. The winds looks like it may get even gustier as the game goes on, and it gets a little warmer throughout the game too. So you've got rain, decent temperature in your 50s, mid-50s, right? And some pretty good gusts, anywhere from 14 to 17 miles per hour. So it could wreak some havoc. I think if it gets ugly, it'd advantage Browns.
Yeah, you would lean that way, right? You know, like I said, Tom has played decades in New England and knows about this stuff. But there's just a lack of preference to play in cold, windy games, rainy games when you live in Tampa Bay, yeah, and play majority of your games there or in domes in the NFC South or whatever. You know, it's just a lot of opportunity to play in optimal weather. So this one is probably, I haven't checked Tampa Bay's game by game, but this is probably the worst weather they'll play in to this point in the season. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's a Fox game, which is not the customary deal for Cleveland. They're typically a CBS game type of setup here, but they get on Fox for this one. It is a 1 p.m. kick. Who's on the call, Brad?
Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma, and potentially Shannon Sharp on the field, where it, you know, that's what it says.
Yeah, Fox gets a little more former player active on the sidelines. I think they want a little different angle. Maybe they do. That'd be cool to see Shannon Sharp there on the sidelines. He's always got some good nuggets. So we'll keep an eye on that. So again, Fox, don't tune in to CBS. Check out Fox for this game if you're somebody trying to find it. All time, Browns 6-4. Brad, they took advantage of some of those terrible Tampa Bay setups in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. It's been there. They've been the runner of late here, right?
Yeah, so Bucks won 4 of the last 5, last game in October 21st, 2018. Browns lose in overtime, 26-23 in Tampa Bay.
I remember that one being, I believe, Cleveland's slow start in that one. A lot of Carlos Hyde carries, if I recall correctly. Didn't play all too well, but they tied it up late. And then there's a pretty famous Mayfield gif of him looking stunned on the sidelines. I think Tampa kicked a 59-yarder to win that one with just over a minute left in overtime, where if he had missed that kick, I think the Browns would have gotten it like right out near midfield or just across midfield on their own side or close to it, and would have had a chance to go win it. There were a lot of really weird, like the Raiders game was very weird in that 2018 season where they thought they had a first down. It didn't work out, so... God, that was a strange year that filled us with a lot of thoughts about the future that never quite came to fruition. The gambling lines for this one shift a little bit here. 3.5, Tampa's laying 3.5. So they're obviously heavily favored because Cleveland is getting points at home, 3.5 at home, especially considering the weather and all of that. I think that line is probably fitting, Brad, the 42.5, based on what we're talking about weather-wise here for like a 23-20 type of game. Also feels pretty fitting. Do you think those are off at all?
I, despite the weather, 42.5 seems really low. I mean, okay. I see what you're saying. 23-20. Yeah, that sounds about right. I kind of have a feeling that may go over.
Okay. You guys heard it here. Talking about gambling lines, we're going to switch over and look at some of the parlay action or numbers we like from FanDuel Sportsbook, as we always do on this show. You can get anytime touchdown score Nick Chubb for -110 if you feel good about that. Sort of a ground and pound type of game. That is available for you should you want it. You get some interesting numbers too. Amari Cooper +220, Mike Evans +135. Those are options that are out there. Scoring 2 touchdowns, you can get Amari Cooper, who just last week scored 2 touchdowns, at +1300 should you so choose. If the Browns get to the goal line and give it to Kareem Hunt a couple times, +2100. If you're interested in those are your 2 touchdown scores. Passing yards in this one, Brissett over under is 205.5. So very much on the low side. And Tom Brady is 261.5. I would say I like the over on both of those, Brad, largely because the Browns haven't run the football well. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But when they're forced to throw it a ton, by sheer virtue of volume, 205 feels like a number that he could easily cross. And Tom Brady, the same thing with Tampa Bay. It's a pretty, they had a nice outcome against the Seahawks running the football in their last game in Germany before the bye, but it still feels like a team that wants to throw it a lot, but we'll see if they do what the Bills did, which is hit the second quarter and be like, why the hell aren't we running the football? This is what we're talking about. And we've spent all these drives throwing. It was funny watching the Bills wake up and realize like, this is kind of goofy that we haven't run it. Over under Nick Chubb rushing yards is 71.5. He has not hit either of those the last 2 weeks. How do you feel about that number?
I actually like the over on that in this atmosphere in this game. I think he goes over 71.5.
Got it. Like it. Looks like they took away some of our fun numbers in the passing category. They said this. Listen, Jake and Brad, these guys on the podcast in Ohio have been crushing Nick Chubb over receiving yards and Harrison Bryant over receiving yards. You don't have either of those. The two you have is Donovan Peoples-Jones, 41.5, and Amari Cooper, 52.5. And even if you don't think Jacoby Brissett's going to throw for 205, those two only accounting for 90 of those yards, where's the other 110 and change coming from? I mean, David could get some, but where else is it coming from? So I don't think either of those match up, and I think both of those are easy overs to me. You can get Mike Evans at 61.5 and Chris Godwin at 62.5. And again, I feel like those two are over numbers or right at it type of numbers for me. Let's look at our favorite category, which is those long shot parlays. I don't know if I'm able to find that number on Saturday. We usually do these Saturday night, so maybe they haven't put those out quite yet. But those props are pretty fun when you can link up a couple of some of those wild numbers. It looks like actually they're not available yet. Maybe those come available late Saturday night in terms of you can match up like Nick Chubb scores the first and last touchdown and some of those fun parlay opportunities. So continue to check FanDuel throughout your Saturday and Sunday morning if you are in a legal gambling state. Reminder, Ohio, OBR promo code. Make sure to use that to get your $100 for when the year turns over. Now in just over a month, sports betting will be legal in Ohio. So take advantage, like I said, of that opportunity. We are going to take a break, our solo break of this episode. And when we come back, we'll hit on our three keys, where it feels like Brad and I have been just wasting our breath on these three keys of late because nothing seems to go right. But we'll give them to you anyway in hopes that they end up yielding some positive results. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, telling you again about the fantastic offer coming up from FanDuel, America's number one sports book, which is coming to the Buckeye State at the turn of the year. They're already available. If you go in, sign up, you get $100 in free bets with an early sign-up bonus. Now, again, reminder, you cannot get this offer if you wait around and do it after the turn of the new year when it's a go-live date for sports betting in Ohio. You have to do it early. You get an early sign-up bonus by using the promo code OBR. Very simple. Just OBR. Get that sign-up bonus. Right? Get $100 in free bets. Just have to download the FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. Safe, secure, super easy to use. I already do it for some of the shows that I do on Sundays just to look at lines and give advice. Download that app. Ohio, it's your chance to get in on the action. Join today. Again, promo code OBR. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Again, the disclaimer, 21 and older. You got to be present in Ohio. Bonuses issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1 of 2023. Unique user identity verification is required. Offer ends on the go-live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Brad, so this game, I don't know what to think of Tampa. I should be really afraid. I mean, it's Tom Brady, and I don't know, man. It's Mike Evans. There's a bunch of just stalwarts in the NFL, like guys that are really, you know, even the defensive side of the football with Vita Vea and a lot of their guys that they bring on that side. But it just feels like a weird Tampa team that's lost to Pittsburgh, team that's lost to Carolina. You're really hoping that the bye week and the win before the bye week over a competent Seahawks team on that long trip they took doesn't wake them up, because they do feel like a team that's just waiting to wake up and make their playoff run. Nobody's really claimed the NFC South. It's clearly their division to win, but you're hoping you can catch them one more time before they make their serious run to the playoffs. And inside of that, is this. There's a lot of things we know about the Browns right now, and a lot of things I've come to accept. But if they do not run the football, because they're capable, they're not capable of stopping the run, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. They're capable of running it. If they don't run it, it changes so much about who they are, and it shrinks their margin for error so significantly. So again, they cannot have a 14 carries for 19 yards Nick Chubb performance. They cannot run for 60 yards collectively. They have to get back to figuring out, and I wrote about this just the other day, if you missed it, it's up at the OBR site, what has gone wrong in the run game. They have to get it right. It's a tough task because Tampa, between, you know, Vita, between Akeem Hicks, between Joe Tryon-Shirinka, they got a bunch of guys that are tough at the line of scrimmage, on top of Lavonte David and Devin White, guys at the second level who are movers, and that's the Browns have struggled with moving linebackers of late. It's going to be a severe challenge, but I'm sort of banking on it feels like they're due with the run game stuff here to get it back on track and have a respectable efficiency game. So I think that's a huge one, and if they don't do it, I don't see them winning. I really don't.
Totally agree. Got to be able to run the ball. It all starts there. If they are stopped and are ineffective in the run game, as they have been sort of pretty much totally the past 2 weeks, then they're in trouble early and often.
Yeah, they are totally in trouble. Hit me with your first one, Brad.
Must deter the run game. And I know you just kind of said, they can't stop the run, and they can't. So, you know, I talked about earlier about them playing with desperation, but Joe Woods should be coaching with some desperation at this point. So do something different, right? Take a guy out of coverage, put a five-man, bare front up there. Do whatever it takes to deter the run at the beginning of the game, because this is a team that is second most pass attempts in the NFL. So if you could just a little bit early in the game, they will bail on it and go throw the ball a lot. And I think there's a weird stat out there where Tom Brady is like 0-3 when he throws the ball over 40 times or something like that. So
yeah,
maybe they're 3-0 when he doesn't throw it 40 times or something to that effect. But either way, they don't want him to throw it as much as he has been all year. And I think if I was Joe Woods, I would be trying anything I could. And I think that at this point, Jake, it's fair to say you have a better chance. I think you have better talent and you're better equipped to stop, even with the coverage bust and everything, to stop the pass or slow the pass game down than you are to slow the run game down. So whatever you have to do, to deter them from running the game, running the ball all over you and throwing it on you, I think is what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we've both accepted, I think everybody in the fan base has to accept that they're not going to stop the run. I mean, it'd be nice because if you can make Tampa one-dimensional, they're still good enough. I mean, they're the greatest quarterback to ever play here. I mean, they can still get it done, but like making them one-dimensional would help you immensely. But I've given up hope of them doing that in any consistent basis. The Cincinnati game was just a weird blip in a stretch of pretty obvious, you know, football here, how they can't stop the run with any success. So they won't do that. So what do they have to do to make Tampa throw it a ton? Now, again, the situation last week with the Bills clearly, like, this is who the Bills are. They want to rely on Josh Allen to do like 95% of their work. And I think the same thing with Tampa. They can just lean into Tom often. But Tampa is, to the frustration of a lot of people who cover them, especially my guests this week, like, they're an early down run team. Even when it's stupid to be an early down run team, they'll run it on first down. So I think they will be trying early in the game to do it. And if they get success, 7-8 yards of efficiency, as we've seen from many teams, I don't think they're going to just go away from that. So I'm pretty fearful of it. I think the only path and why I have it as a key to this whole situation, Brad, is creating a stop or two early, a la last week with Buffalo, a couple early three and outs. But instead of only scoring a touchdown, they got to get up 17-21 to 3-6-7 and make Tampa feel like they have to throw. They're not going to stop Tampa's will to run it, but situationally the game could deter that they have to throw it instead of run it because of the clock scenario, so on and so forth. But I mean, listen, teams could be smart enough to still avoid that because they know, hey man, if we just continue to run it, like, we're going to find ways to score on these guys, because it's a historically last 25 years of NFL football type of bad NFL run defense here from Cleveland. But you know, what I would like to do is make them question that as much as possible. And that usually involves an early lead and some sort of feeling of, we need to throw it to get back into this one. That's where I lean. That's the only hope, in my opinion.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I would agree that would be one way to get them off of the run and get them throwing the ball more, would to jump out to a nice little lead there.
But to your point, Brad, I think it's fair too to say that they should commit more assets to it. If a team has started to gash them and figured out things to do, then put a fifth D lineman in and run a 5-down look, a 5-2 look, run some early down run blitz stuff to try to take teams out. Like, what are you doing to stop it will be the question again that we have find ourselves asking if they are continually gashed the way they have been so many times this week. Yeah, on to your next one.
Yeah, totally agree. I can't get, you know, one way they can get an early lead would be to get Njoku involved earlier. Like, we saw him get involved in the game later. It's just like, so in your scripted plays that they script up so well, I would want to make sure that some of those are going to him, because he is kind of like, we've seen multiple times this season where he gets one or two catches and then he gets three and then he gets four and he just kind of gets rolling, right? And I think that would be a getting him involved earlier in the game would behoove them, I think, offensively. I think they waited too long to get him involved last week. So I would like to see them get Njoku involved in the game. I think it opens some things up for him in the run game and on the perimeter as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to see him on the field a bit more this week. We saw him on a limited snap count number last week, and
sure,
I would like a lot of those targets that we saw go to Harrison Bryant. Go to him as often as you can. I know you can't all the time. The one Harrison Bryant back of the end zone where he didn't get both feet down and Njoku was out on a sail route there. There are opportunities, but to your point, if the ankle's getting better, let's see him on the field a bit more and let's try to find a way to get him the football. You know, as much as situation can, you know, dictate that. If somebody is an uncovered player, you have to throw it to him, right? If it's not Njoku, you have to throw it to the other player. But nonetheless, I would hope they find a way to put the football in his hands, to your point. Brad, my last one is it's a heavy 3-by-1 team, like to run trips. Obviously, when you have Julio Godwin, Mike Evans, among several other highly talented football players, they're going to put those guys on the field often. How the Browns cover that? Will they sit in too high? Will they shade, give somebody a chance to play over top of Evans? Will they play Martin Emerson on him? Will they put this is again the type of wide receiver that Denzel Ward struggles with. So if you try to isolate Denzel Ward against big body guys like Mike Evans, who are gifted, typically not a great outcome for Denzel. He's better against the smaller, shiftier types, which I've covered extensively. Are you going to put Martin Emerson on him? They're obviously missing Greg Newsome, which is a big problem in the slot, especially against Godwin, who's so special. So how they play, are they going to play 5/3? Are they going to play 4/3 with shade over top? Like, I'm just, that's an early fascination point for me, how they play coverage, and they have to keep things in front of them. In this game, they cannot allow explosives. Cleveland struggles so much right now to create explosives that result in touchdowns. They cannot give up easy explosives for touchdowns, rally and tackle. It seems like to me, Tampa has struggled the most keeping drives alive. They convert some throws and then they don't. I think I have them at 21st in the NFL in third down conversion percentage, right around 39% at this juncture. So they've been better in their last three games. Uptick to 46%, but when they have really struggled is on the road. They have gone to 36% on third down conversion. So not asking for the Browns to create turnovers. We know how hard those have been to come by this year. Obviously a point of emphasis for Miles this past week, but like, can they get off the field and make Tampa punt it 4, 5, 6 times in this game? That would be enough to potentially win. So a team that's in the bottom 10 ish of third down percentage, let's see if they can take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be interested to see how they address that 3-by-1 stuff as well, and who they assign to who or how they approach that. So different teams doing that in different ways. So we'll check that out, and that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. My last point here for me, Jake, or last key, is special teams execution, which seems like not a huge thing, but it actually has really hurt the Browns in the field position game. For instance, last week, the defense was able to, a bad punt from Corey Bjorquez, and they get, good field position. The Browns get a 3-and-out, and they still get a field goal out of it. Like, stuff like that, right? Like, your special teams blunders have to stop. The blocked kicks from 34 yards out going over the top, like, I don't know what's going on there with trajectory or whatever, but all of these issues, returning the ball out of the end zone 6 yards deep consistently, which drives me insane, just absolutely up a wall. But they've struggled to do much right at all, but it would be, in order to win a close game against a team like this, you're going to have to make field goals. You're going to have to execute on special teams and do the small things right, like play field position properly and get good kicks and get good kick coverage without penalties. And they have not been able to do that much of the year. So I think that although it's not a massive key, I think it's important if this is going to be a close game.
It is. Everything will count. I think when the margin for error shrinks, because you can't always overcome odds stacked against you, you have to be able to win several of those outlying factors, and specials are one of them, to your point. The punt team stuff has been really, really frustrating, and obviously the block kicks paired with it, it has all added up. So, I don't know, man. Maybe this is a weird outcome the Browns can win. I don't think anybody should be having a bunch of optimism right now. And I don't think you tune into podcasts to hear people be down on the team, but we try to be realistic as well about where they are. So we're hoping for a weird outcome and then they can overcome the odds here and battle and win. Like I said earlier, and I think Brad would agree, it would be really huge for this organization as they launch into this Houston stretch and beyond, where they can win a bunch of games to get this one. So we will be cautiously optimistic that they can. You can read the OBR roundtable predictions. That is available on the website with more detail in terms of our thought process on this game. You can go back and read Brad's big game spotlight, which is Jacoby Brissett and a lot of the fun stuff surrounding his last start connection to Tom Brady and many other things. Also, Brad's Things I Think I Know About the Cleveland Browns is available up here on your Sunday morning as well to pair alongside this podcast. So check all of that out. We will cover all your game day inactives. We will have a pre and post game starting at noon and continuing right after the game to talk through everything surrounding the team heading up to the game and after the game. Check that out. Brad, thanks for stopping by, my friend. Always appreciate doing these crossovers with you.
My pleasure, sure. It's always a blast, and look forward to we'll see you on game day.
We'll see you at 1 o'clock for the game. Obviously, we'll catch you before and after. Stop by and join us and chat with us at the OBR, like I said, on Twitch and YouTube now, available for you on both of those platforms. So check that out and go to the website where you can read all the post-game content you need to understand everything surrounding the Browns' outcome and future and all of that stuff as it ticks over to between this game and the next game, a really important change in the franchise scope, really. It's going to be a very interesting thing to cover in the next few weeks for where this goes with Deshaun Watson. But before that, the Browns need to get a win against Tampa. It'll be a huge game. I'm sure it'll still be packed up at First Energy Stadium. So enjoy it. Enjoy your day. If you're tailgating, if you're watching at home, we appreciate you stopping by and listening to these episodes that you guys do all year, even despite the rough outcomes. It means a lot to Brad and myself. So for Brad, for me, for All Eyes on Cleveland and the OBR Film Breakdown presented by FanDuel, we appreciate you. Stay safe, be well, and go Browns.